Visit with Coleman, Channel 2 Right, with Rick and Debbie, this Tuesday, 28th of August, 73. This beginning of the visit with Coleman on Channel 2 Right with Rick and Debbie, this Tuesday, the 28th of August, 73, and Faye's here, too. Channel 2 Right, and beginning of the visit with Coleman this Tuesday after the 28th of August, 73, with Rick and Debbie and Faye. Channel 2 Right, and beginning of the visit with Coleman this Tuesday, the 28th of August, 73, with Rick and Debbie. They've finished hoeing, they had laid by the sweet potatoes. They've finished working on them.
Learn a good bit, I think. No matter what kind of weather you got, you still get hot.
Yes, ma'am. Good water for me.
Yeah. You want cold water, Rick?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, it's much better than it is out in that sun.
I thought that haze would keep up a while.
Yeah.
That haze is gone by the time I got over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it hit as hard as it did was when you wake before, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I got hot the last day or two, Coleman.
Yes, sir. Well, it's been some hot weather.
I'm out there messing around, you see.
What you doing?
Well, I'm trying to save a little of this old grass.
Yes.
It didn't count, but.
Yes.
And, yesterday, put it over yonder. I just did it in the way you want to. Yesterday, my blade, my mower blade.
A duh.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And you tell it just like that.
Yes, sir, sure.
It don't take long.
No, sir. I never did mow with a tractor, but I used to mow with a mule, and I was on the mule machine, you know. And it makes a difference when that blade gets done.
Hey, and they don't have to tell you about it, do they?
No, sir, sure no. No, sir.
It starts that, it don't jerk, it don't vibrate, but it labors.
Yes.
Whatever you call it. Like going up a hill in your car.
Yes, sir. That's
before
right.
You change gear or something.
Yes, sir. That's right, sir.
Oh, it must pull it.
Yes, sir. It makes a difference, a big difference, too. You got a rock to grind your own thing, man.
Oh.
Or you carry it somewhere and get it
around.
I carry it. Can't get it around.
They do it so much better than I do, Coleman.
I know. They got better, I guess so, because but I had a little rock where I used to grind mine. I lowered it to Mr. Boyd one time, and you know, he caught himself working on it and ruined the thing, and I couldn't sharpen the blade at all. He cut
that rock down
or something. I don't know what he put on that rock to cut it down, call himself fixing it, you know, where it'd do better than it, and I couldn't do nothing with it afterwards.
Oh, now, he cut your rock down?
Yeah, cut the rock down.
I never heard of that.
You know, they made in shape, you know how they made, you know, that grows up in between them two sections, you know.
Yeah.
Some of that rock made to fit up in there for you to grind that blade sharp, you know. Well, he cut it all down just about the same, all the way across from one end of the rock to the other. And he just ruined it. And he done something I didn't tell him to do either. I lowered him for to sharpen his blade with it. That's all I did. And that's what he did for it. He brought it back.
Well, now, you had a special rock.
Yes, just for one of them machines, like we pulled with a mule, you know.
Yeah.
You put that thing on the wheel. Or either on the tongue, and one to take two, one to turn it, and one to hold the blade over. You could, there's a place where you could put the blade on there and kind of bolt it down, but you could do it so much quicker if you'd hold it on there with your hand.
And somebody else to
turn the rock. Yes.
Oh, you had one of them old
Yes.
Great big old. Great big old thing.
No, sir, it's small.
How big?
The whole thing wasn't moving by that long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you could bolt it right on the wheel. You know how that was no rubber tie. You know that was the iron mowing machine wheel. You know, you bolted right on that. Either you could put the tongue on a block or a box or something where it'd be up and bolt it onto the tongue of the machine. I don't know if you ever seen one of them kind of rocks. Probably when you start dealing with it, you hadn't done away with them.
No, I grew up with a great big one.
Yes, it was a great big one.
Yes.
But this wasn't so over big. Now the rock part wasn't more than just about that long. Well, I was just about that long.
Oh, really?
Yes. See, it made, you know how it made in shape, where when you go to grind it, it'll fit up between them two sections, you know. Kind of, and that's the sharpener, just like they already sharpened that first, you know, when you boil.
Yeah. Usually you don't still have it.
No, sir. I sold a fellow that machine. I called myself to sell it to him, and he never did pay me for it, and I gave him that rock with it. And he ain't got nothing for none of it. He ain't never paid me for the machine and tore it up. Tore the machine up.
Well, how'd you let him get by with that, Coleman?
Just tore it up, wasn't nothing. I didn't see nothing I could do, as he never had paid me. See, I didn't have him tied up no way, no, and so that, I guess that settled it.
Well, you're an easy dealer.
Well, I didn't, you know, it wasn't a way to get by, but if I had went and took a gun and killed him, well, I'd have been worse trouble, so I decided to lost the machine.
You got something over there I could borrow?
I don't think I got anything you were wrong.
I don't know how you can stay in business doing like that, Coleman.
Well, you can't stay in business. See, he put me out of business. If I'd have had another mule, I could have used the machine some more, but I didn't have but one mule, you know. And so I didn't, never had been where I could use it. Well, see, if I had another mule, he put me out of business. You can't stay in business that way very long.
You know, I have two mules.
Two mules, yes.
Well, a lot of them things.
Lots of them, yes. And, you know, we used to have a disc, you know, like you got some discs out there, because I wasn't no, you have this, you would use a mule, you know. But some discs always would be so rough on a mule, they'd wake a mule. But to do anything good with them, they would cut them.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's tough. They take too good on, you know, for to stand up with them things.
Yeah. And then you let them catch their breath at the end of the row.
Yes, not at every end, no, sir. No. But we watch them, you know, too, and you see them getting hot. To let them get to that.
Coleman, how do you get when you're plowing along there? How do you get Emma to go one way or the other? Just
being hard, just learn it that way. But I mean, before you ever learn them, you have lines on them, you know.
Sure.
When you tell her, you just gotta check that line, and pretty soon you have where you can wake them without a line, no need a line. It don't seem things a mule thing to learn things that, but that's what always told them. When you want to go right, tell them G, I'm going to go left, haw. And
they do it.
Yes, that's it.
Now, when you got Emma, she wasn't trained?
She wouldn't do that, no. She wasn't trained to.
Oh, I didn't.
But I learned.
You had to do it.
Yeah, I learned it. I'd use the lines on her. And I tell her G, and she didn't go. And sometimes I was kind of snatchy, you know, with the line. And pretty soon you have where she go right, where you tell the G she follows to the right. I've seen them, we have had them. Unless you want to have a line, you didn't have to have a line. Good time. Turn around at the end, same way. I had a red mule, and I could turn him around at the end, and he wouldn't be turning short enough around, just holler at him, you know, and he'd stand up on his hind feet, and just whirl around him, just short, that short around.
I never heard of anything like
that. He just like just wrap and just come back around.
And he was red?
He's red, yes, red color. I guess you'd call it a soil mule, you know.
Yeah.
Soil color. I always call him red mule, but he was soil color.
Well, he learned.
Yes, sir. But you know, sometimes you have to kind of whip him a little bit. You don't make him learn. Some of them be kind of hard-headed. But he was the best weight, common weight, because he couldn't pull as much as a lot of them. He was more of a traveling mule. He traveled kind of like a horse. But I had pulled, had another one with him, but he'd pull half as much again on a load as he would. But he'd do all he could, though.
Now, that wasn't the mule you rode, was it?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. I used to ride him in the woods, but I had the hogs on the range, you know, feed them. That's all we had to do with them hogs. We used to raise on the range.
Yeah.
Just feed them, kind of keep them gentle, tame, you know, where you could handle them. And you'd call them, see them in the woods, and call them, and the hogs would come to you, you know. And they'd come up too close to him, and he'd just, a minute time, he'd just stand up on his hind feet. I'd be sitting on his back and turn right around the other way.
Yeah.
Mm. Scared of automobile, though. This man Preston used to be in making up, you know him, did you?
Yeah.
They used to take me for a good thing, you know, beat me on the road. They had some kind of little car, I don't know what they call it, low down, and him and his brother used to ride in that thing. They almost looked like, almost laying down, it was so close down. And that mule was scared of that thing.
And made a lot of noise.
Yes, sir. And he'd make it, make a lot, the time he seen the mule cut up. I don't know, sometimes, you know, it make you a little kind of vexed, maybe it done, but, you know, and he'd break out to run, and he'd go, too, if he didn't hold him. You just had to hold him. Cause he sure would go.
Yeah,
that mule.
He was scared of automobile.
Yeah, I don't blame you for being there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they'd run that fast.
Some of them can. Okay, if you want to see one run, if you get him, you like you had one using with them horses there, you got out there. And turn, and you get on them, one of them horses and run, and you, like you're going to leave and stuff, you see how fast, you know how many keep up with them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some of them same mules, get on the back, you couldn't hardly get him to go along. But they can run, though. He swallowed them horses.
Well, Coleman, I believe it's the kind of voice you use. I heard Rick down there talking to Emma, and he's saying G and Hall, and she didn't pay much attention.
No, she knows the difference. She knows, they know the difference right now.
I'd tell her to get up and she wouldn't move.
But she knows she could boss you. She'd do you, just like she wants to.
Oh, she heard him, but...
Yes, sure she heard him, but she didn't pay no attention to him. Yes, she heard
him. You holler.
Yeah. They know the difference all right now. Well, she'd know the difference. You'd go in there to catch her, and I'd go in there to catch her. She'd come out, I'd tell her to come to me from the backside over there, and she'd come right on to me. But she wouldn't pay no attention to you ever if you'd go in there and tell her that.
No.
Well, you don't just talk nice to her.
No, sometimes I had to whip them. Make them do.
Oh.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
You have one, if you tell him to do it, and he don't do what you say, you have to whip him. I guess... Did your daddy ever do you that way?
Yeah.
And he's a little fella. Tell you to do anything, you didn't do it, he'd strap you.
Yeah.
Well, you just crack that line on her. That'll about do it.
Well, sometimes if that didn't do it, I'd get a, you know, get me a good switch, a whip or something. If that's what she needed, you know.
You mean an old black whip? Yeah. And crack it at her?
Yes, a green oak limb or something.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
And really stinger.
Yes, stinger. Good. Well, you got to, sometimes you had to make a feel it, you know, for it to do any good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't, it won't pay no attention to me just like she done Ricky. It just won't pay no attention to me.
No.
But.
Well, I heard you down there, and you use a pretty strong voice when you're talking to her.
Sometimes I do. Well, that's why she don't do exactly like it. She knows the difference, too, but I use it that way.
Well, you just got a voice, and you don't realize how strong it is.
Maybe that might be it.
Because it's
that mule, when that mule hears it, it picks up and goes on.
Yeah.
She doesn't wait. Because I was telling her, get up, get up. And Coleman's behind me, boy, when you let go, get up there.
Get up, mule.
She knew what I meant for her to go. When I told her that, you know.
Now, Coleman, I stood down there and watched you plow, and I can't any more tell what you did.
No.
What did you, you know, you'd back up. How did you do that with that single plow?
Yes. That was a twin plow, you know. That's making the bait there. They call it, that's putting an extra fur to it.
Yeah.
See, when y'all rigid with that, you put two furs together. Well, I went around with that same plow and put two more right there.
Oh, yeah.
Put one on each side.
East side, that's right.
And then when I went around, I went down the middle and off to the sides.
Yeah, you went down and you dug a ditch in the middle. he put a ditch down one or two middles. Some of the water to come
down.
You
can tell it,
too. Yeah, it's fine there now. He was just way too deep in the ground, that's all.
Well, I don't see. You know, that's just about all I could do to keep from going side to side. And before
right.
I knew it, I thought, well, now you ought to pay attention, Rick. You're going a little deep here.
Well, Coleman, what makes me think is it looks so easy. And I saw Rick, and it wasn't easy.
Yes,
he couldn't do it.
No. Well, it is after you learn it, but you know, if you don't know how, I believe you're working away to make it hard for your own self, because if you don't know how, you work against your own self, you know. Yeah, I think
you know, we were talking about this once before. That's when you said you'd plowed enough to go to Vietnam and back.
Yes. Well, yeah. I guess so, too. I made a mini track follow the plow, you know. Started early in the morning, worked to 2 o'clock, and go home, get my dinner, and maybe at 1 o'clock, go back out there again, and wait till cloud of sundown for me in the end, you know, I'd be went a mile in that day of waking. It was all put right on the line.
Well, you know, it's hard to realize how many times you have to walk over that piece of ground.
Piece of ground, that's right. Yes.
You break it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, your plow just does a little bit of
just about, yes.
10 or 12 inches.
But just about 10 inches, I guess, one plow like that, about 10 inches, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to make a mini round on an acre of land to get it real good.
And then you always harrow it, don't you?
Sometimes it'd be rough. If it didn't be rough, it'd be rough, I'd harrow it, yes. And harrow it was... harrow after one mule harrow, you know, after you open it out. Of course, you use one of your drag harrow, but one section of them is a little bit quicker, but the other harrow, the hammer time after you open it out, wouldn't be no wider than that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you just have to keep it going over that till you get just like that. Sometimes it'd be rough, you had to go the second time.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, do you remember them old box chairs we used to have? There's a wooden frame with spikes down it?
Yes, sir.
What'd you call that?
Well, I don't know what really the name of them, but we never did own one of them, but I've seen a many of them. Yeah, I know it is wooden with the spikes in it.
Section harrow.
Yes. Well, they got these iron harrows now for mules.
Yeah.
Now, I got one section of it. I bought it from a fellow. Well, when he had his two mules, they had two sections of that. Well, this fellow Black, just a little back up there, he had one, two sections to it, and he sold me one half of it, you know. Well, I got it at the house there now.
Oh, really?
Now, anything real rough, I hit your amateur to it. See, it'll cover a wide space. It'll cover space just about as long as this table here.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I go over with that, you know. Sometimes I double harrow it. You see, like I go this time, next time I let that harrow come along and cut it about halfway. Again, just keep on cross that way.
Yeah.
Well, you have it, you put a weight on that harrow, then you don't need much of a weight on it for one mule. Because it'd be hard enough for it to pull, and by the time you get over, you have it in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Yes.
That fellow Black, I'd mentioned him.
Yes,
before.
Yes, used to live up over next to making over. Yeah.
Next to
this man over there. That's his place, you know, where they got them trailers. You know, that used to be his place, and next to where this man built that
house.
House
there?
Back before.
Huh?
Over here where them trailers. At the here, you know, where this man building store here?
Oh, yeah, on 441.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, at highway going to my house,
yeah.
where them trailers at right at the end of that fence, well, that was his place right there. The house used to be on the first side of it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That same place between his, between where this man fence and that church up there was his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
run up to Carrie Walker.
That junction, it's been a good while since that junction was there.
Oh, long time. They used to have camp meeting that place right back away from my house. Run an excursion there.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yes, sir. It's,
right?
used to be a shed there. I guess it's a big shed. I know it covered every bit of acre ground. And they used to run trains, you know, bring people there.
Yeah.
You just go in there.
And they get
it off. Used to call it Turner City. That's what they called it. That was the name of it. Turner City.
Back of you.
Sir? Yes. Right.
Back of the place where you are now?
Yes, sir. Right up. I don't think you. Did you ever come to my house? I think you had. You'd come up after you leave down here to the. Crossing at the railroad where Butch and them live at. You just turn up in that hammock and come out to another cross on that little Bragg Road and cross where you get up to the house. It was a cross right up there now.
Yeah.
You just come that, well, Franklin got it fenced in now.
Oh,
used to be a road come around through there.
Oh, I see.
And right where that cross net, right cross that, that's where the big shed was.
Oh.
They used to run trains. I remember they run about 2 trains there. They bring people there from all over, I don't know, from everywhere.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Used to have a camp meeting there.
And that's in your time?
Yes, sir.
Since you've been living there?
Yes, sir. No, sir. Not since I've been living there.
Before you lived there?
Yes, sir.
While your daddy was there?
No, that's before he come there. There's a white fellow there, a fellow Riley, a fellow he bought plays from, named Riley. His son down here at Ocala now. On that lake, just outside Ocala Lake, where that he got. Got one son, that's all he got living. He got one son and he got the 2 feet daughter.
You mean a white fella built that place?
He didn't build it. My dad built that house, what I'm living in now. But the house was burnt up. That's the house a white fella built. That man built the barn. That same barn is there.
Yeah.
Yes. His name is Riley.
But the place burnt up.
House
burnt up.
Burnt up, yes. The house where that pump at. That pup was sitting in the back porch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So he didn't build back.
Who that?
Riley.
No, but the house burned up. My daddy there. He had a place in the house burned up.
Oh, Riley's house burned up after your daddy lived there.
He was living there. Everything he got burned, everything he had got burned, but daddy had to get burned up. Everything, house caught a fire in the noontime, set from the flu, you know.
Yeah.
Used wood stove, you know.
Yeah.
Caught it up there somewhere when they found out the house was on fire up there. They didn't have time to save nothing. Got excited. Well, him and mother was there. All the rest of the children was off in the field working. And you know how it be. Sometimes people get excited and they don't do nothing.
Yeah. That's the way I do.
Yes. Well, that's what they done. And it didn't save nothing. Save one old trunk. Everything he had got burnt. It's noontime and it happened, and he, after the fire already, he didn't have a pair of shoes to put on.
Mm.
Or his wet shoes, they had them off with his feet rest at noon, you know, and he didn't have time to get them. And that house got burnt up. Well, he built this house back. That was in 1917.
That it burnt up.
And that's the time that house is back where I'm living at now. It was built back there in
1917.
Yes.
Well, it's a nice house, Cole.
It'd do very well.
He must have been making a little money.
Well, he did. He used to be lucky on the farm, and I was. Well, of course, he had a big family. He had all his children there, and he used to make money on his farm. It wasn't so expensive back in them times. You used to get string beans, take 10 cents a crate and 12 and a half cents. And you used to get just as much or more for them than you get now.
Yeah.
And now you got to pay it. When I was planting them, you start off at 50 cents and went on up, you know. But now to tell me there's $1 or $2 to get them picked now. I wouldn't plant them now to try to make no money, because you can't make no way to make no money, because you don't get enough for them. You know, if you've got to pay $2 a half for a bushel to get them picked off the bushel, well, where's any money for you?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be nothing for you.
Coleman, were all the children like you wanting to learn, like you said about plowing?
No, they didn't. I don't say they wanted to learn, but they had to learn. they had to learn.
Now, when you were just a little boy, your daddy went to the.
Yes, and he'd go get in some water. I'd have the plow handle to plow. And pretty soon he had me plowing too. Well, when I got big enough to plow, I had to learn. Yes.
Well, it seems to me that as I watched you
yes.
in that plowing, one of the things is to know how deep to go. So
yes,
and that.
Well, see, I'll tell you what to do with that, you know. See that old sack, people use back bands, you know, board back bands, but you can take old sack, clover sack, and do the same thing, make your back band. Well, you use that to keep the plow out of the ground from going so deep. You set that back over the fowl just, if you wanted to go deeper, you set it for the fowl. If you wanted to go light, you set it, move back on the mule back, you know. You make the mule do that, keep that plow out of the ground.
Oh.
Well, see, he didn't understand that. But, and then, in other words, them kind of plow, that slide on there, when you tilt that plow handle up, that'll make it go in the ground. If you bear on the handle, it'll make it come out of the ground.
Yeah.
See that slide
yeah.
on there, slide on the ground. That's the thing. If you bear on the handle, it'll make it come up light.
Uh-huh.
Well, what you done, you tilt the handle up, make it on the point, and that made it go deep in the ground.
I was going.
Yeah, you caused that. I know what caused that, but I didn't try to straighten you out. I was just going to let you, because I know you couldn't kill the mule in one row.
Well, sometimes the ground is it's so uneven, it'll be high here.
Yes,
lower.
But you set the plow, it will make no difference. That band what goes across the mule back, that's what control that plow back there. If I'm going to plow this other plow, the sweep is called it. That's what controls it. I set that back band the way I want that plow to run. If I wanted to go deep in the ground, I set the back band further to the front. If I wanted to go light, I set it more to the back. And her back will pick that plow just where you want it to go.
Coleman, I must admit, I have handled mules off and on in a very, not a very intelligent way. I never heard that before. I never even knew that back band was adjustable.
That's what it is, yes.
You push it back or forward?
Back
and
forward.
Yes. Forward.
Yes.
Now, you made it out of a sack?
Yes, sir.
Just
well,
sack.
Yeah, crow sack. It's just as good as them with the buy. Of course, them with buy might look the best, but it just as good. And it don't cost you. You always have plenty of them old sacks around, you know.
Yeah.
And one way I'd make you another one. And you don't never be out no money on that. But if you want something to look good, why you go to the store and pay the charge about it? Imagine now it costs you about $1.50 to get one of them.
Well, I think a crocus
yeah.
sack would look better.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper, I know that much. Yes,
well, I kept wondering what that was.
Yes, well, that's what it's close to. That's what I keep that on. I guess you notice it being
yeah.
on the back, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's for.
Yeah. And I noticed it's a crocus sack.
Yes. And by that plow running deep, just like as I told you. But see, when Ricky got it, he held up the handle like that.
Mm-hmm.
That made it go down in the ground. You make it run deeper then.
Yeah.
But if you had a bat on the handle, put it down on the handle, but it'd make it come up out of the ground.
Yeah.
See, that slide was a slide on until that slide wear out. When it wear out very sharp, well, it'll go in the ground itself. But as long as you stay like it is now, I think it's pretty good now. Well, it'll help keep it out of the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, his philosophy length. Well, because people don't want, well, there's no need to learn plowing a mule now because nobody hardly plows. Because you ain't going to plow a mule. If you ever plow many, you will get your tractor. So I guess that would be the best.
Oh, I think people are going to go plowing with a mule more than ever now, Coleman.
Well, it's lots of them got rid of Miss Myers, and they're going back to hunting them again.
Well,
hunting them the way. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You can do a better plowing with a mule than you can with a tractor, because I didn't watch a lot of these people plowing with a tractor. You can cover more land, big territory, but you can do a better plowing. Because I have made my crop and not put no hoe in it. Made it with a plow. But you got to plow good to do it, you know.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yes. Sir. I made it not put a hoe in it. Corn, well, fact, I hardly ever hoe the corn unless I bean picking time. Sometime it causes the grass to get a little jump on you then, where you got to stay out of it, say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, not do nothing to it, you know, and you go in there and get a little head every then. But if I didn't have to do that, I wouldn't eat no hole in my corn. And I made a bean crop and not hold it in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this fellow that takes care of my horses, who's Haviland, said he's looking for some mules, and mules had gone up so high now. Everybody wanted a mule.
Wanted a mule, yes. But they tell me people was going back after the mule. And a few years ago, the people I can say it right around here. I said, well, it'll take the richest people. They done the same thing. Back years ago, that's all they had to depend on to make the farm with. They had one tractor for the distant land with. We had about 8 or 9 mule plows. And after they started farming completely with the tractors, you turned the mules into pastures and let them die. You all didn't have a good pastor like you got here. Just had a pastor, and that's all. You got to eat and dirt and everything to try to get something to fill him up, And pretty soon, they all went all to nothing, and they didn't have no mules, and I think they sold some of them, I think. But they didn't care for them. If you had to turn him in a good pastor where he got enough grass to live on, it would have been a different thing. And I know a lot of people turn him in pastor, and the mule got full of dirt, sand, eating that short grass and get sand in them and take the sand collars or something or other, died from it, all like that. They didn't care for them. You know, I think it looked so bad back years ago, that's all they had to help make you live it. And time has got to where you could do a better, throw it away. You know, I think they ought to take care of it right on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I think, but that's what I feel about it. That's the reason I try to see this old mule here, because, you know, it's not so much what she's doing now, but still, she will work if I want her to work.
And look what you have done.
Yes, that's right. If I hadn't had her or something just like her, well, I couldn't have made a living in the back days, because I couldn't, wasn't nothing I could do to make a farm, you know. Didn't have no tractor. And it wasn't no tractor back years ago, you know. I know there wasn't a tractor. It wasn't a tractor in this country. Nobody had one.
And you don't have any equipment.
No.
No money in it.
No.
The harness, you got a bridle.
Yes.
You always use them blinds?
Yes, I'll tell you what I use them for. If you got a bridle on a mule or a horse with no blind in it, he's watching back at you all the time.
Oh.
That's what I use them for.
Oh.
That's something to keep him from looking back. You know, sometimes maybe you're not experienced that, but some of them I've seen them would watch back at you all the time, driving in the wagon or to plow either one. Just time you go to raise the switch to hit him or the line to hit it, he'll dash off the end. Just time you take it down while he's watching, looking back, you just slow down again, you know. And use that blind rod where he can't see all the time, and he always can't tell exactly what you're doing back there.
Got a little
surprise.
You keep him wondering what you're going to do. And so he all the time looking out for something happened back there, you know, and he's going on and try to do his way.
Your trace chains, that's all you use anymore, just chains, isn't it?
Chains.
Well, Coleman, the mule has to keep the line, the thing straight, in a straight line, and then you have to keep it even, the plow even. There's a lot to a mule having to know what to do.
You know, you can, just like if I was going to lay off rows, what we call it, line off rows or flat end, you want them straight. Well, I take stake poles and set that. Now, you might not believe it. Just time that mule get where he see that pole, you go to it.
Oh.
Yes, and he put his bump with his face right there. He stops that, because you done that so many times with him. He knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
He'll go
right to that stake, just as soon as he can see it.
Yeah.
And you go there and set it, and he gets up. You might have to tell him, gee, your heart, or he gets where you see him, and he gets there and see the next one, he'll go down to you.
Now you see.
Well, after you get one row, do you still have to use a stake pole?
Yeah, keep it straight. Because some people, I never keep mine straight if I didn't use it all the way across. You know, if I want it straight, cause I can keep them pretty well the same distance, but I'll crook them, you know. If I wanted a straight row, I use it all the way across the field. If I were to lay off a 10-acre block, I'd use a stake pole all the way across the field if I want, you know, rows look pretty good. But I can put them across that with a plow, and it won't be enough different in it plowing for the bother in it making that crop. But there'll be someplace it'd be crooked. So.
Yeah.
But I can lay them out. I had a brother who was next to me. He could go a whole field if he get his first row straight, just like he could do just like he could with that tractor. If he get his first row straight, he could lay off 10 acres and wouldn't have to use a stake pole. He could beat me He wasn't a better plow hand than I was, but he could beat me that way. I couldn't do that. No, sir. I'd make a crook, but I could take a stake pole and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Made it, you know. But I'd put the stake pole most at one end.
You mean at the far end of a 10-acre field?
Yes, sir. Now, if I had, I would set one ball right at the end and one further back up in here. And I'd start from that end. I'd get there and I'd line them poles up together. I'd put them in a line and set my plow in a line with them poles and go to them. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And that mule would go right to his?
Just the time she gets where she can see him. Now, when I first started, she couldn't see him where I first started. But just the time she get close enough where she could see them poles, she'd go to them and stop. After you don't really see you've been under that so much, she knows what you want to do, and she, you wouldn't have to tell her, whoa.
Yeah.
Just go and bump him with the head. and you go and set it and tell her, go on. She's going. This time, get ready to see the next and do the next in the same way. You might have to tell her, Gene Hall, before she gets ready, she'd see that pole, you know.
Well, you can't use anything in the place of one of those ready-made, store-bought
collars. People used to make shuck collars, but you know, all them people used to make my shuck, but don't all what used to know how to make them. I guess they're all them dead out. There ain't nobody around this country now being knew how to make them. Make them out of shuck.
Yeah.
Shuck with shuck off a corn.
Seemed like that'd scratch the mule if you did that.
What?
That shuck?
No, it's all right. You wouldn't have to put no sweat pad under that. Of course, now you ain't got to put no sweat pad under these other collars, mules, but. We used to be using when you could get the kind you wanted. Try to keep them right now, but most he got there is too small. I went and bought some for him, but it's too small. You hardly get one large enough, you know, you want it to come down to the point of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hardly get one large enough, and I just kept trying to get one around. He got some there now, but the most is too small, about a 16. She wants to pick about a 21, size 21 for her.
Well, she's pretty unusual, has a pretty unusually big head, doesn't she, Emma?
Yes, sir. Yes. She's about the largest, I believe about the largest, really the largest, as she said, she's about the largest mule I ever had.
Yeah.
Others was size smaller than her. Yes. See, you don't need two large mules. I tell you, Fred Wood got a pretty nice little farm mule. He's a light coat, but he ain't got much hauling to do. Now, take a heavy mule, If you had to do lots of heavy hauling out the field, you would want them kind, you know.
Yeah.
But just plowing a little mule like he got, it'd be all right.
Well, it's the same way about a tractor.
Yes, sir.
Most of the work you do with a tractor, you just want a little light one.
That's right, sir. Yes, sir. Right, that's right.
Kind of like, you remember them little old tractors that come out, the engine set up there, it looked like a sewing machine.
That's right. Yes, I mean.
Well, they got enough power to do anything.
Yes, to do all the plowing you want. Well, that's all you want. Something, you know, just to cultivate with. Now, when you get to that heavyweight, then you need one of them heavy ones then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like disking and heavy disking.
Yeah.
But just cultivating, just like you said, them little small ones would be all
good. Yeah, and they wouldn't handle these old, big old rotary mowers. They're right powerful. They take right smartest
power to move
them.
Yeah.
Because you got to go. You got to go fast.
Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
In order to get your speed up.
That's right.
And they're heavy.
Yes, sir. I guess so.
Yes. Of course, you could take a little smaller strip.
Yes, sir.
Coleman, that you know, I tell you, I didn't realize that I had never planted vines.
Peter vines.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And you see, all I ever done was get the slips.
Yes.
And we had a long, we used a tobacco stick.
Yes.
We'd sharpen the end of it and put
yes.
a little notch in it.
That's right.
And the ground was
good and soft.
Was soft already. And you just stick it down there and sort of pat it with your foot, as I remember. I'm not even sure of that.
Yes.
And just walk along.
Yeah.
But now with these vines, it's a different operation.
Yes.
You make your hole first.
Yeah. Well, I do that. When I make the hole first, you have to, just like you said, if the ground is say pulverized, salt
yeah.
pretty good, you
yeah.
wouldn't have to do that.
But
I make that hole first, keep from cutting that vine in two.
Yeah.
See, if I didn't make that hole first, I'd have to push on that vine so hard that stick would cut it in two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of these little vines would be so tender, you know.
Oh.
They'll cut in two and in short piece.
Yeah.
That's the reason I make that hole. But.
Yeah.
Now, I miss the planting, Goldman.
Yes.
How you have to have, how many joints in the ground?
Well, I tell you, the more joints you can get in the ground, is a better chance of making potato. Because they make that every joint.
Oh.
There ought to be two joints in the ground, but if you don't, sometimes, a lot of them I set out, when I set, potatoes, the vine be so tender, I can't get but one joint in the ground. Because the time you start to push it right in the ground, it cuts it into a break into, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the but if you get two more joints you get in the ground, the more potatoes you'll make, because the more that's where they make at them joints, where them leaves come out. Yeah.
And you don't have to have any joints outside.
Yeah, up top of the ground.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to leave a top there. Yeah. Say stand up. You know, it'd be better just leave if you just stand that straight up like that. But sometimes it had to be longer. You know, sometimes you can't get them in the ground first, and then just had to be more out in there. But you want to leave some out. Much as two joints out anyway. That's what gives, because that's how you're going to start growing at them joints. They here to put out new woods there.
The roots, the joints will make roots under the ground and leaves above the ground.
That's what the leaves come out at the joint with them on top of the ground and at roots, joints under the ground, that's where they make the potato at, because that's how you're going to put out roots for the potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you made your hole and then you pushed that down,
yeah.
That vine down.
Yeah.
And did you close up the hole?
Yeah, I knocked it dead and every day. Well, some people, you know, hey, we'll just water them. That water will close it up if you're going to water a potato.
Yeah.
But I just done that, you know. So if you didn't get back there, you water them a good season in the ground, you can get them to live without water.
Yeah.
And that's why I closed that hole up, just to keep the sun out of there. But if you're going to water them, see that water will stop that hole up.
So, yeah, and hold the water.
Yes. Yes, that hold the water, and the water go all the way down on that potato vine. You know,
well, that's what Debbie was saying.
Yes.
The way you did it, you could water them.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then if you go along and stomp it or anything with your foot, the water won't go down.
No, sir. No, he'll pack it on top of the ground, but it won't go right down in that.
Now, what did you tell us about if the potatoes, a potato field got too much water, if water stood in it?
Stood in, yes, you know, it'll rot it. It'll be water soft. It won't be right exactly rotten to that length of time, but it'll be soft where you couldn't eat it.
In 24 hours, you
said? Yes, and I've had them that. You know, a rainy season, like these hurricanes come, that's when mine happened. It come with lots of rain. I had it planted in wet land where the water couldn't run off it. And rain about, you know, when it has done about 2 days, sometimes it has 3 days of rain,
yeah.
You know. And the end of that hurricane, the water rolls, the potato rolls would be full of water. And before I could get that water off them potatoes, it'd be ruined. Had to throw away. I had my whole potato crop, I had to throw it away.
Just because of the short time?
Yes, it'd be good water, so.
And then that's one reason why you want.
Yes, it'll help it, because if that would hold the water from one end to the other, the water couldn't run off it. Why, it wouldn't help it so much then, but if it didn't come too much water, it'd help it a whole lot. See that potato be up on that bed, and that kind of protect it like.
Yeah, I didn't see any of your horn. I think you got a. I never hoed down here. I grew up hoeing up the country. It was all different.
Yes, but I guess a different climate, way different, I guess.
Yeah, this old
sandy land.
land.
Yes.
So I don't know. Debbie said there's a great deal of difference in you hoeing and them hoeing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I try too hard. That's what I do, Coleman. I get out there and I think I got to dig a hole. And,
yeah.
You're a lot easier.
Well, I guess one thing, you know, I'm more used to it, y'all, and it takes it a little bit different. Maybe y'all are trying to learn, and that's what makes, I guess, the thing feel a little different.
But you don't chop at it. You just...
Yeah, I do that, you know, horn up like, that's how I generally give mine my last horn, you know. Well, I'd hold, bring that hole deep enough in the ground, any grass up there, I'd cut that grass up, it was coming up, but I'd wake it up to the potato.
Oh, you would?
Yes, wake it up. That's where I generally use mine.
Oh, you work from the other side? You work on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, we work one mill at a time. Last week, we worked one mill, and today we went into we skipped in every other mill we worked last week.
Yeah.
Well, and today we got in that other mill where we didn't work last week. Yeah, that's where we worked.
You did that so you wouldn't disturb the plant. Just
well, you could have worked it both mills at the same time, and you wouldn't have hurt the plant. But I'd sort of do that, and maybe it helped keep the ground cleaner longer. You know, this last working should last a little bit longer than last week. I don't know where it will now.
Yeah, just
kind of
spread it out. Like
yeah, that. Make it different times.
Make it easier on us too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier to work out a middle like that than to try to do it both sides.
Yes, it is. Yes.
A whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And then you take the runners and pull them over.
Yes, some of them just leave them there.
Leave them there.
Yes.
Have you always done that?
Yes, ma'am.
That way?
Yes. See, they cover, when they cover the ground, you supposed to have it, everything where you can handle it then. If you can get the ground, them runners to cover the ground before the grass covered.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the thing. We'll have to watch them and see how fast the crop of grass gonna come. Sometimes the crop of grass, if the grass will grow real fast, you might have to do something or something else to them. I don't know, but we have to watch and see. And if the grass don't grow fast, you might could make that the last wagon, but we're not certain of that yet.
Now, Coleman, those runners put down roots, but they don't. That doesn't make a potato.
Sometimes they make a potato in the middle, but that don't never amount to so much. Sometimes it be big enough to eat, and sometimes it don't. But you don't never depend on that for to make the potato. That main part what you depend on is where you put that potato in the ground. At.
Oh.
But I've seen them make them in the middle of the road where them runners at. See if you notice them runners, they put on roots too.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen them make them potato there. But you know. It don't be as large as the one where you put the potato in the ground.
That's what I asked you this morning when I pulled up one of those runners.
Yes, but you know, I've seen people where the ground is rich. You know, people used to call it cow pen potato patch. You know, like a bunch of cows like you got. You pen them at night, you know, and make that ground rich with cows and put potatoes in there. Sometimes you can have it too rich. And I've seen people would have to go over that and tear some runners. The potato vines, you know, would be that high in the middle of the road. Yeah, it'd be so rich. And that we would try to make potatoes. They say the ground would be too rich for them. But you can make good potatoes with land fixed with cows, but you don't want to have it too rich.
Isn't that funny? I just now remember.
You ever see them trying to behind stuff?
No.
But
it's
the best. Best in the world to make it, and you just don't have it too rich.
I remember potato plants in a cow pen.
Yes, well it's a good place for them.
I never knew why.
Just like a bunch of cows you got, you could take them cows on, say, about an acre of land.
Yeah.
And
keep them at night.
At night. Turn them out in the daytime, pin them in there at night, and try that land. When it gets too much litter over it, if you want to, you could take your tractor, like you got a tractor to go there, and just cut it up. And maybe trot it on a little bit, but don't make it too rich. But you make it good way to be enough fertilizer that you don't have to put no fertilizer in them potatoes. Because you don't need nothing. Because if you let them cows stay on that too long, it'd be so rich, you wouldn't make nothing vine because it'd be too rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the best thing in the world to make potatoes. Now, if you make it too rich, I'll tell you what you'd have. Cracked open potatoes.
Oh.
Yes. You have those potatoes cracked open any 50?
Just
bust open. Well, that's what you'd have lots of there.
Yeah.
But that's the best thing in the world to make potatoes with cow pen land.
Well,
it'll beat this board fertilizer all together.
Cow pen potatoes.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we got the cows.
You got the thing to make potato pen. Yes, sir. And it wouldn't take long to do it. You just fence it, if you want an acre of potatoes.
Yeah.
Fence in cut an acre off the seven, and pin them cows on that acre at night.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do until you get much. If you want, you can be the judge of that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need to make them.
And potatoes like a little clay in their land?
They say, people say, well, I guess you, Now, potato don't do well to strike a hard pan, like kind of like peanuts. Sound peanuts, you got to be on. It's got to be a land would be hard pan. They call it hard pan. It'd be hard. Just nobody like clay. Now where I live at, that great. That if you stand a little while, by that deep in the ground, it'll get just as hard as where clay was.
Oh.
Yes, they call that hard pan. Well, it's good for potatoes and good for peanuts.
That's where you live.
Yes, sir. But it's no clay close to the top of the ground. I'm moving down that one place, little old sink down there in the field, some clay close to the top. That's all the place I know. Well, I don't know how deep clay is the other place, but it's too deep for a root or anything around. Now, you got clay on your land pretty close to the top of the ground, but clay down yonder.
Yeah.
Right on that hill where that roughest place was. The clay is close to the top of the ground there, and that's where we got the best potato vines right now.
Is that right?
Where the roughest place in the field was, that's where the best potato vines.
That's right.
I don't know where the potato going to be that the best or not, but it's the best of vines there right now.
Yeah.
But it's the roughest place was in the field.
Well, now your hard pan, you can cultivate it down 4, 5, 6 inches.
Yes, sir.
And
you strike that hard pan. Now, of course, you can break that hard pan, but it's so a dry time. Now, you take that land where I'm at now, in a dry time, if you go out there and turn it, you can't turn it. It'd be just about as bad as your land to turn, because you can hear that flower point on that ground,
okay.
And it won't turn. But a rainy time, if you have the water, the land gets wet, why it'll turn good.
Yeah.
But a dry time, it won't turn good. You can't do nothing with it. Hard not turn it in the dry.
Well, you don't want to bother that hard pan.
No, sir. We'll never go below that. See, when the roots strike that, or peanuts, that's good peanut land where I live at. It'll make them, and what I mean by good, don't be faulty peanuts. If you plant them right, they all be good and sound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, if you ever notice, I guess you have, sometimes you plant peanuts, it'd all be pops, all faulty peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
This sandy land, lots of it, bring them kind.
Well, or is that right?
Yes. And they say, best is anyway, making potato. Potato make better when it's hard pan up. And I thought your land should be good potato land because it's got clay close to the top of the ground.
Oh.
I don't know, but it should be.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm going to watch that this time.
Because
my land ain't got no clay, but it's got a hard pan. But I'm going to watch that. I want to watch the sandy end, and I'm going to watch that rough place where the clay is so close to the top ground. See which I know what's doing the best now, but I don't know what would be the best afterwards.
Yeah.
That rough place is doing the best now.
Yeah.
It's growing the vine the best.
Well, you know, we picked up a few little nut grass pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what did you say you used to plant for hogs that had
that
nut?
2 foot. You know what?
Too much.
Yeah.
Yes,
2 foot. Coleman, that little thing that holds your, that you put your trace chains on, that's a Hames?
Yes, sir. Hames.
That never wears out.
Yes, sir. Sometimes you break them.
Oh, break them?
Yes. Break them.
You just keep your little piece of leather to tie them with.
Break them, but go buy a new pair. You know, sometimes when you break it up that way, you hook the chain at it, and you have to go get a new pair.
Yeah.
I got lots of old ones around there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you can't patch them because that's where all your.
If you patch them with wire, you can patch them, you know, make out for a while, but you know, where you got to hook your trace, you say if you want to patch them, but it just make out so you can get you a pair, well, you can do that, you know. But just if you got to unhook that wire, untie that wire every time and get ready to do anything, well, it'll be so worrisome, you'd rather go get a new pair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's the key point about the flower harness is that collar and
yes.
Your.
Well, that's all of it. See, unless you can buy your other thing got up high enough, you're going to buy them. Back bands would go across the back out of the stool. They cost you something now, I know, because everything else, but they's no better than them sacks. The sacks just as good as them. Well, the sacks, in a way, suit some horses better than and them board ones do, because them board ones sometimes a rubber make a sore on a horse back, but them sacks won't do it.
Yeah.
Mm. His lot's cheaper working, farming, building a mule, because you don't have to go to a lot of expenses, you know, where you had to go with your tractor and buy all that costly stuff, you know.
What is that thing that goes over there back in?
Harness. Huh? Britons, call them Britons.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you use that for?
For them to hold that wagon back off.
I see.
And of course, this will mule, lots of them horses don't care. They'd run up on the heels, they don't care, but some horses won't stand for that. I had one, wouldn't stand for that to run up on the heels. He'd run away if that had run up and buffle,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
But see, if you have that on, strapped so tight, that'll keep that wagon back off.
Yeah, that holds the tongue. That gets the tongue.
Yeah, well, yes, call that the wagon shaft, like a one-horse wagon. That tongue be on a two-horse wagon.
Yeah.
Yes. But that shaft, it's strapped on each side of that.
It would be the same thing.
Yes, the same thing. When she's going down a hill, she'll kind of set back on that. They'll be able to learn, and that'll hold that wagon, keep them bumping.
Yeah.
It won't bump, yeah.
Yes.
It looks like it will, but it won't.
But
that's right. You have to have that or else it wouldn't stop, would it?
Yes. Just like these heels. I see some horses, that old mule, she'd hold it back without that. It'd bump her, but she wouldn't run away. And I had them wouldn't run away, but I had some would run away. If that wagon run up on hit them, you know, they'd just keep it going.
Mm.
You could use a little handbrake.
I didn't have it on there. That's what that mule. But I've heard talk of people having a handbrake on the wagon. The way to put on brake,
yeah.
We never had nothing.
I never did either.
No, you know.
I've seen them on there.
Yeah, I have seen them too, but we never had nothing like that.
I think they put that on these heavy logging wagons and things like that.
Yes. But we never had nothing like that. Really. Just make the mule or horse or hold the wagon back off.
Yeah.
But lots of these hills back over on this side, a lot of places down over here. Of course, y'all ain't got no battery next to y'all, but I've seen a lot of places back over there where the hills look kind of dangerous to go down on them, but the people back in them times would use the wagon and make the horse hold that wagon back over.
Nothing that'll happen to the shaft of your wagon except to the...
They get old and water and break sometimes to have a new pallet. Like it is now, you can't get no new. It used to be you could buy an extra one. I doubt if he's good. I'm his tractor here. I guess he got a new wagon. Cause when I bought that in '47, what I got, bought it brand new.
Yeah.
And he had two that then. I imagine he got that other one now, cause I don't think nobody else bought it. And I imagine he got it back down the shelter now.
Golden, why would you want a spring wagon if you're on pavement or something?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
If you're on dirt, you don't need it.
A spring wagon, but springs on, you mean to say?
Yeah.
No, sir, you don't need it.
It rides a little easier, though.
Yeah. Well, lots of people used to have, not to say wagons, buggies, with rubber tires on, you know, with horses. I've seen them, lots of them had rubber tires on the buggy.
Yeah.
But they do, I don't imagine they ever had a tire. I guess that is just... I never did own one of them, but I guess it was just a solid piece of rubber. It wasn't nothing like a tire on an automobile, no where the tube blew out, but just a solid rubber they had around it.
Solid piece of rubber.
Yes, sir.
Well, that quieted down right smart.
Yes.
That.
It might have hoped some, but I don't think it was too much. But I guess that's the best thing the people had going back in them days.
Well, the advantage in a buggy and a wagon, Coleman, you go along there at a pace where you can see how the field's growing.
Yes. It's lighter to get around in. Well, you take a buggy with iron tires or steel tires, whatever you call it, it's not so heavy for pulling. That's all kind of I ever had, though. I never had one with the rubber on.
Oh, I see. Well, you can look over there in the fields. You're fast. You see, when you're going by in a car, you go as fast as you can. You don't see them.
No, you don't see nothing.
And you can't speak to your friends.
That's the truth. Sometimes you don't have, if they have, you don't have time to speak to your own friends. Oh, these calls, people love them, you know. You know, that's one thing. Now, I guess you witnessed this yourself. If you using one of your horses to a buggy, and he have killed as many people, his automobile, you couldn't sell him, couldn't give him to somebody, could you?
No. Mm-mm.
But now, okay, all of you killed one a day, people go around by. Now, the man that makes it was a preacher. He butchered him up so bad, he laid up half a year. He's dead now. And just as soon as he got well enough, went on board another. He tore up his car then,
yeah.
Had a wreck. Just as soon as he got well enough, went on board another car.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if I'd been through something like that, I believe I'd have got out with the automobile.
Yeah.
But I ain't never had no wreck. All the wreck I've had was when I run into a stumble or something, though. When I used to drink a little whiskey, I got a good little bit too much of it and done my own self harm by running into a stump, maybe and blew out a tire or something like that. Done something like that. But for having a wreck on the highway, I ain't never had a wreck on
you
that.
Stayed off the highway.
No, I drove the highway. Look, I felt like I could drive better than I could any other time. Yeah. Well, I felt then, I could. I never had no wreck either.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Never had no wreck.
Everybody
I just felt like I could drive better then than I could any other time. Look like,
Just
the mind I had, I guess.
Maybe your neighbors all knew you, and they say, here comes Coleman, we better look out.
No, I had to move off of some of them. I'll tell you what happened to me one day. When I stayed back over yonder and further back over next to Rochelle, I used to go in the games along the Rochelle, what they call a Rochelle Hawthorne Road.
Yeah.
And one day I was going into the Gainesville and got just about the corporation of the Gainesville, and police was at a drunk white man. I don't know who he was, but that man had the whole road. That's one time I got in the ditch, because I see him coming, you know, just like that. He's trying to keep out of the way of that policeman, and he did keep out of the way of him. The man followed him until he got to the line, and he stopped and looked at him. I think he's getting his numbers tagged in. I guess he got him and he able to come back again. But that man had the whole road. He's on this side sometime and on that side, just like that. And I seen him. I drove down the ditch and waited till he passed me. He went on by. Yes, sir. But I never did have it. So I've been held up one time, road man one time, and I'll be that right, let me see, where I'm at now. I'm not home, okay, right over here, just before we get new. That is back up here next to where them gills live, I believe. I was driving too slow. I'll tell you what it was. I was looking over there to see that somebody had something over there. I was just looking at, you know, and I was driving too slow. I had to have the traffic blow up, held up back behind me, and that's the only time I've ever been held up by a road man.
Oh, he told you to move on.
You just driving
he
too
told
slow.
Me to, he come down and told me to get on the side there. Got on the side and he told me, he gave me a ticket. But I didn't have to pay nothing. But he told me I had the traffic held up, I was going too slow. But see, I wasn't thinking about them people back there. I was just driving slow, looking over on and some of them people feel that something that I was looking at and that's what I was doing. That's the only time. That's the only time I ever had any trouble.
You don't even remember what you're looking at.
Not now, I don't. No, I couldn't tell now what I was looking at, but it's something that was drawing my attention, you know.
Coleman, on your wagon, you just got one sideboard. You don't need a double one or anything.
No, sir. But double sideboard.
Yeah.
No, sir. But I got double one on, and I tell you, I just put it. When I had them other boards off and where I had them at, there, like it is, it was rotten and getting dry rotten. I just put them on the wagon. I believe it'll last longer than it would where I had them hanging up in.
Oh, you got them on there now?
Yes, I got them on there now. But they're a little bit worse from getting in and out, you know, because I got to get all of it now. But just once, when I was going to haul something, like, I mean, I used to plant corn. See, I'd use that for to bring corn out of the field, you know, bring wood, but I don't need it on there now.
Well, this, you know, all you've got to do is grease your axles.
That's right. Keep them running. You have to keep it greased, just like automobile, you know. It makes it run easy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to do that.
Well, say about, I guess, like, I don't know, if I use it every day, it ought to be used really about 2 or 3 times a month, you know, like
that. Oh, that much?
Yeah. Well, it will make it run easy, you know.
Sure.
Because when it burns it out, and it burns all that grease off that axle, it'll go to squeaking up there.
You can tell it.
Yes, you can tell it. And everybody else was around can tell it because it goes whistling, so everybody will know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what's that place underneath there where the tongue is?
Underneath, well, you need to put some grease on that. You know, that'll have it twist from side to side, make it turn easy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Put a little grease.
Oh, a little grease on that.
What is it? I don't know what you'd call a thing. What do you call that underneath the front there? Where they?
That piece was set up on top of the wheel. We call it a bolster. I don't know what you would call it, but that's what. That's just set on top of that bar. Well, you see, the wagon body sits right on there.
Yeah.
See, that's got a little stand on. That bolster, what I call a bolster.
Yeah.
A little stand on each side to hold that wagon body.
Yeah.
Well, it twists just like that. Move the shaft round from side to side. That'd make that twist easy.
Yeah.
And you grease that. That'd make it. It'd wake better. You could tell it yourself if you put grease on it. And put it on that wheel. That wheel run dry. Why, it'll go squeaking then. In other words, when it goes dry, just like an automobile, it'll cause it to wear out quicker if it didn't keep no grease on it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You'd know it, wouldn't you?
You sure would know it, yeah. Yes, sir.
That little one-horse wagon, one-mule wagon of yours, what do they call a buckboard, Coleman? I've always heard that word, and I never knew what it was.
Yeah. Well, he had some kind of little old ladder wagon. He's a small wagon. It's between that size and a buggy, you know. Yes.
Yes.
Has smaller wheels, small tires and everything.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I used to hear him call around. I guess that's the same thing you'd be talking about. But it was a ladder. It wasn't as large a wagon as that. You see, that wagon got, my wagon got tires about like that. I think you'd call them a 2-inch tire, I guess. But that buckboard had tires. Might be just a little size larger than a buggy, you know.
Yeah, a little less body.
Yes, sir. Yes. Sir. It'd be some kind of light, you know, getting around.
Yeah. And it'll go along.
Yes, sir.
Coleman, what? I've seen that. I've seen a wagon or a buggy set up, you see, in an old shed.
Yes.
And the weather never got into the shed. The chickens was in there, and it was just downright dusty.
Yes,
sir. And dry.
Yeah, well, they'll take dry rot. That being just like I use a wagon of mine, it's good for me to use it a lot of time. Last time I used it, if it's going to rain, I wouldn't put it under the shed. I'd let it rain on it, you know.
Yeah.
The dry rot is just about as bad as rotting out in the weather.
Yeah.
If you ever take that dry rot.
Yeah.
But use it just about like I use it. Well, I see that'll keep it from doing any of it. And shed leaks some where I got it on the now, but I use it. And the wheels, the body, what I call the body, the bed of the wagon, well, it's getting pretty frail, but the wheels in good shape now.
Well, how you manage that? Looks like
I'll tell you how I tore the body up. I done that myself. They give me they take out cross ties. That's when they used to take them out on the railroad and give them to you know.
Yeah.
But now they don't do it. They'll cut them up. They don't like only impinge so you get no good of them. You use a fence post and wood and everything else. And they'd give me a whole lot of bunch of tires, but they tell me to move them. And sometimes I didn't want to take the bed of the body off the wagon by myself. I could take it off all right now, but I just go ahead and haul them tires on that body, and that's where I tow it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I done that morning, sir. But
it's just too light for that,
right? Yes, too light. If I had taken it off and just use the running gear, well, it wouldn't hurt. But that's what I done that morning. So I didn't want to go to trouble to take it on. I just taking them out there and hold the tires. I had to get them out of the way, you know. They tell me to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
You give them to you, but they tell you to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
And they want them out of the way before the head man come along, you know. And sometime I just had that evening to get them out because they want them out by the next day. Lots of time.
Well, you've got to keep the tailgate in it and the front gate?
Yes, sir, front gate.
And keep that tightened up.
Yes, tighten up that iron rod. I got that in there, yes, sir. Now, but see, that's kept holding together.
That keeps it together.
Yes, but it's not so, the body not so good, but I'm still using it, you know, but there's just a bit of the wagon, the running gear part, I thought, it's in good shape right now.
You never use a spring seat.
Yes, I got one. I just don't put it on. I just put a board on there. It suits me,
yeah,
right on that board.
Yeah.
But I got spring seats there.
Yeah,
it's more easy to ride.
You know what I was looking for was some place to put my feet.
Yes.
Down
well, I see, even when you drove the mule, boy, I just let you take it just like I had it, but I kept my feet on the outside on that, you know, on the shaft on the single tree, you know, that's where I kept my, every time I come here, that's where I come, just right on the front of the wagon with that boat cross there. But you get inside, you know, and put your feet in inside the body. I guess that's what you should. I should have told you to do. Put the board further back and put your feet on the inside of the body.
Well, that was all right. I didn't mind.
Yeah.
I just looked down there and all I saw was a single tree, and
well,
I didn't know where to put my feet.
That's the way I had been using it. I just get on that, just feet on the single tree, the mule pulling, and I just set on that front, that board on there. I got a spring seat, but I just don't. Just don't go to trouble to put it on there, because I just ride on the board.
Coleman, I don't, you know, it's hard to believe. Now, up there where you live, how far are you from the hard car?
Somewhere?
Are
the
you,
hard road?
Uh-huh.
Half a mile.
Are you that far?
Yes. That's what it says. It says measured in a car that says a half a mile.
Is all that
the
railroad right away?
Yes. Go to Franklin Fence. You know,
right
to
Franklin's fence.
Yeah, that's Franklin's fence. You know, right along where it's straight. You know, after past that bend, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Franklin's fence is put on his line and the railroad line.
Well.
All that railroad right away, clean. He got a big right away, just like.
That way.
Yeah, and it don't do nothing. They just grow bushes.
Did they used to keep it down?
Yes, sir. When it wasn't paying but $1.50 a day, $1.60, you have them in. By this time of year, it's in August. That's the month they used to burn it. They done mowed that track and burning the right of it. They used to keep it burning one side to the other, keep it clean. Just these late years, that thing grew up there like a swamp on that railroad. Now, some places, automobile can, from where I live at, cross the road on the other side. You know, they got a road on the other side that man had to go in to see. Watermelon patch. And you can't see the top of automobile over there right now. I'll be on one side of the house, and I can hear the car going on, and just had to look at one same place, I can look through there and see the top of it.
Bushes
is high in automobile.
What is those bushes mostly?
Just mostly any kind of like a gum bush, any kind of bush comes there.
Gum bush?
Yes.
Oak bush?
Yes, anything come up there. Now, in some places, last winter, they sent a man. I got to try to cut the weeds up there in front of them, upside my place there. Now, after I cut them last winter, they sent a man down there. They moved from that little crossing back there where I come out from the house, down just the other side there where they got a little phone box down there. They moved the side of the right of way on that side of that major road. That's for with the one of these moves, like they got one of these moves to hook on like you got, you know. And some sort of tractor mowed that. And that's all done. Now, on the other side, I don't think they mowed anything. They had the bushes got to be about tall, just about tall as your house, just about it. Anyhow, the tall as that shed. They sent a man that just cut them down and let them fall, and that's all.
Come down with the axe?
Yes, a bush hook and axe. Yes, but it didn't need the axe. Most of the time they use that because it's too big for anything else to cut but an axe. They were so large at one time, right there at the house, that was so large you couldn't see the hall at the top of the train. The old box cars go along there.
Right.
The train going
right in front of you?
Yes, sir. They ain't been that way this year yet, but it's that way before they cut them down a year ago. It was that way. Yes, sir. High and high in the box, yes. Some of the elder bushes and all kind of stuff there. Now, when it's paying, wasn't paying no money, it looked funny. They'd do that now, and now they're paying themselves about $15 or $20 a day. And they don't do as much, work as it's done when they're working them now for a dollar or half a day, $1.60 and $1.75. They're doing more work then than they're doing now for all that money. Now, it don't look like a reasonable, you would work anybody that way, you know.
Yeah. And then they complain.
Yes, sir. That's what they done. Now, every year, way back years ago, when they saying that little price, in August, they be done cut the weeds down. Now, this month, they'd be burning the right away, burning up.
Yeah.
And when they get through with it, they have it just a clean. Wouldn't be nothing on it. And it wasn't paying nothing for it. Now they're paying a whole lot of money, and they ain't doing nothing. It looks like everywhere is getting kind of like that. I don't know why it is, but it looks like it is. People work different on the farm now. Now you take the woods people now, they tell me they're paying for hoeing, just like we hoeing on it now, just now. Yeah, $1.75 an hour.
Yeah.
But you know, if you keep anybody...
They don't move that fast.
No.
Hoeing.
No, take their own time.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't why I prop up on the hoeing rest. Well, they're doing better than we did, because I don't think we done that out there. Just one of them little kids. We didn't rest. But you see that, you just stand and look at it. Now you stand off and look at it. That's why they hold peace, and they got something to want to talk about. Fella, he tell a whole lot of different stories, something he done or something happened, you know. And they all got to stop and listen at that. And that's why they just hit another few licks and go on.
Yeah.
But they're paying $1.75. Oh, well, you know, you can't come out on the farm now at that, because you don't get enough of what you raise.
And there's several of them doing it.
I know it is. They ain't making much money on it. I can guarantee you that. Once in a way, they make enough money to give them, encourage them to go ahead. Sometimes they might hit a pretty good lick.
Yeah.
Enough to go ahead. Well, that'll give them a go ahead for about 4 or 5 years before they ever change their mind. And by the time they get ready to change their mind again, they make another good little lick, and that just keep it going like that. And when at the end, when they wind up, we'll have much more than it was when they started. That should be just the way it is.
Coleman, on your right away up there, the bushes bother you more than the weeds.
Yes, sir.
Because the weeds don't grow that high.
Oh, yeah. Look, they grow pretty good on them. It's smart out there. It grows about like as high as this table. It's common weeds and some higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it don't
hide for automobile, you know. But it be pretty rough out there, and it be sick out there on it. There's lots of places right out there, around the house. Cross rail from one side to the other, it'd be kind of dangerous to walk. But you just have to be just where you walk it.
Yeah.
So sick right now.
What's the main weeds that are growing along there?
I look like it's some old kind out there, just any kind of.
Yeah, and the coffee weeds.
Well, some place I might find not too many of them out there on that road.
Coffee weeds just seem to grow in the pastures.
Yes, but yes, especially in the field where you work at now, them coffee weeds. Because we out there try to cultivate around there, I can destroy a crop of them coffee weeds that are flying. I destroy a crop of them. And come a big rain.
And here comes
another. 2 days' time is another crop right there. Then come out the ground. Just had a little short time, look like to me. 2 or 3 days after I didn't work on there.
But they don't bother you out where you ain't cultivating.
Some, not too bad. Like they don't come out the ground. Just if you till that ground, they'd come out there. I believe the seed is out there.
Yeah.
But by not cultivating that ground, I guess it causes it don't come out so good.
I found one way of holding them back.
How's that?
In the pasture is to fertilize the pasture, and you get a good cover of pasture.
And it kind of crowd them out.
It holds them a little bit, I know.
You know the kind of grass you've got to probably do that. Pangola grass. It grows fast, you know. And I guess that's what does it. Well, I guess we better.
Yeah. Coleman. We'll have to come over there and practice plowing.
Yes, sir.
Hit him up and just plow a little
bit. Plow a little bit, yes, sir. But here, I believe, 11:30.
Yeah, some of these days.
I believe he'll learn. Look like to me, he don't mind learning. Look like to me, he got it in him to learn, but I don't know, he might change his mind after he finds a little wicked.
That's right.
And
many times you got to go over the same piece of ground.
Yes, sir, that's right. He might change his mind then. Decided not to learn. He might not be as anxious to learn. But he looks like now he wants to learn.
Colin, what I was starting to ask you a while ago, that junction thing there.
Yeah.
That junction's been gone a long time.
Yes, sir. Ever since. Now, been some big times at a camp meeting. Well, you know, that's been way back years ago. That's when I was a boy.
Yeah.
You know, that was just it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going in my 84th birthday.
Well, that junction there, up to World War II.
Was that World War II? Was that way years before World War I? Way long time before World War
I. Cause I mean, was it there as late as?
Late as, or mean the station?
Uh-huh.
I believe, yes, I'll tell you what they done with it. I think that run along about World War II. Where it was the first time, they moved, well, see, they done just like done all the other these little sheds on the road. He's getting ready to take them up then. They moved it from one place to another.
Yeah.
And they let it stay there a while, and next time they loaded, I don't know where they carried
it. It wasn't big?
Well, yes, it's pretty good. It's pretty good size. It is just about half as big as that depot down there is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You remember when they had a depot there?
Yeah, that's pretty good size.
Yeah. It wasn't half as big as the whole house, but.
Well, now they didn't have it down there close to that paved road.
Junction?
Uh-huh.
No, it's just up there by my house. Just the other side of the house.
Okay.
Right between the two tracks. Well, I'll tell you where it was.
Oh.
Now, you know where the road come out from making up, the branch road.
Oh,
railroad.
The old road went back that way.
Sir? Yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
Yes, sir. Where the road come out from making up, it sets right, just like this glass here. It sets right between them two roads, right, just where they come together kind of close enough, where they could bring it out from making up on one train. You know, you run a little old train, come out from making up, just go out there and meet the passing train.
Yeah.
Where they could load stuff from that, just a little short, onto the station, and the main train on the main line could pick it up. That same little station, that's it. Both of them unload. One could unload his produce there, and the other one pick it up.
One on one side and the other on the other.
Yes. One was going on to Jacksonville.
And it was on up towards your house.
Just the other side of the house. Just the other side of the house. Just about further other side of the house is from here to that fence back there where we go into the field.
Well,
that
old road's been closed a long time.
Yeah.
That old road.
Which road?
That old dirt road.
Which one? You thought it would go through the make
then,
it?
Then there wasn't there a dirt road back there, or was it just a railroad? To Micanopy.
To Micanopy?
To the junction.
Here's a dirt road back there.
It was a dirt road.
Oh, yeah, it used to be the dirt road. To go all the way to Rochelle.
Yes.
From right on down from Rochelle, said from Old Keller right on down that railroad. But it's a place down there where the fish at. It holds water. And that used to be a place where back years ago, well, it wasn't no highway through over here then from making nobody go to Rochelle.
Yeah.
It's just a dirt road or through there. But it's a dirt road right down that railroad there. People used to travel just about as much right down the railroad as did over this road over here.
Oh, yeah.
Until it go to rain, and when it would go to rain, and that place out there, the truck was fishing, the water would take it, and people couldn't get across it. We have pulled a many one out there with a horse, a car get stuck in there, you know,
yeah.
Trying to cross it. People be on the way to Old Keller or somewhere else down there and get stuck there.
Well, the junction, I always thought the junction was pretty close there to that River Styx Road. But it was on up the railroad towards you, past you.
Just a little bit past me. It's about 12 and a half from here to that fence out there. Just
and it ain't been used since for long years.
Oh, no, sir. It's been a long year. I guess it might be it's World War II, or four World War II.
Yeah,
four World War II. But it's been used some since World War I, but
yeah.
Before World War II. Really
was there ever a settlement around there?
Small settlement, yes.
Small?
Yes. Right back at the house where you had a camp meet, it used to be about five or six little houses back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was right there at the junction.
Just back of where I live at. Just
yeah.
Up of that, making another branch. Just a piece about four up that branch, yeah. About from here where Daisy Wright lives.
But they could get off of the train there at that junction.
Yeah,
walk
and walk on up
there.
Yes. Then the other scattered houses now, these places people for a mile, or about a mile off. There's several places where houses be back out there, about a mile, or mile and a half, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little old dirt road.
Yes, a little dirt road going places.
Wagon road through there?
Yes,
woods.
Yes, sir. But, you know, people used to come from Island Road right to catch a train and go to Gainesville.
Oh, did they?
Yes, sir.
From Island Road.
There's a man who used to run the store, Bryce from Island Road. He used to come catch a train all the time, leave his horse there. Drive a horse and buggy that far, leave a horse at the daddy's in the lot, he catch the train going again, was calling over there where his daughter live at.
Yeah.
That's all the place he was going to catch the train. See, I tell you how it is, I look like you just change around. Back over there where Mr. Paulin lived, that's just called, way back in the back, it's called that the backwoods.
Yeah.
Now it look like it's more the front now. and where I'm at is the backwoods, but all of us come back across the creek and first cross creek, well, Bryce lived the other side of the creek. He used to come back and he used to run a store up the Island Grove. He used to come back and catch the train and go to Gainesville.
Yeah.
Well, he could have went on the seaboat over there to Gainesville, but it didn't have convenience on the seaboat to go and come back the same day like he did over on the coastline here. See, he could drive his horse buggy that far and go to Gainesville, and he'd go to Gainesville and he'd come back on a train to call 39. That'd come about 1:30. But he'd come back on another train just about night, another passing train. But they used to have plenty of trains over, you know, convenient. You could make, one time they had, so you could make 3 trips to Gainesville from where I live at and come back the same day on the train.
Why, Coleman?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It don't look like it now because it ain't nothing that now. It's an old freight train coming back once a day, and that midnight at night, and you don't see it, you hear it, and that's all. I heard it last night. It was like about 12 o'clock.
You always hear it?
About 1 o'clock, yes, sir.
I sometimes hear it. I used
yes.
to hear it all the time. I
yes.
got so I don't hear it.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was a real center up there where you live.
Yes, it was. As I said, you used to call back where Mr. Dodd lived, the Pauling place. We used to call it back in them times the backwoods.
Yeah.
People in the backwoods, but now it looks like it just changed around there. I'm in the backwoods now. Ricky, I reckon I better go, because
yeah.
If don't, you go to bed. You take the table for bed. You didn't kind of sleep, eh?
I
got
to eat some lunch is what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you getting your clutch worked on, Michael?
Oh, yes, sir. This man up there, I don't know where you know him. Right across the road up there.
No, I don't know him.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that when you all was just going up and down these hills here.
Yes.
In that thing.
But I clicked.
Yes.
Well, I left it to Ricky. I didn't thought Ricky was going to keep me in a bad place, but he led me wrong that time, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I can't get out there with my old Chevy.
I know he's there. I'll tell you what, one thing is he done. He put me in a $75 debt.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to cost me.
Well, he thinks you're wealthy.
Yeah.
He thinks you just got all sorts of money.
It must be a thinking he got in.
He got
a
lot
of money. I don't know who it.
He's working for the mechanics, Coleman.
Oh, well, that's what he was in payroll mechanic.
Yes, he's a mechanic himself, you see.
I think I have to charge him up for that.
Get it.
Well, it's done now, and so there's no way out of it. All I can see now is just to have to fix it if I want to use the old truck anymore, and I already had to spend so much on it. It looked kind of hard, so I'll tell you the truth. Now, that'll be about $175 I'll be in.
Let me tell you, Coleman.
Yes,
you could have bought a lot of sweet potatoes with that, couldn't you?
I could have bought enough to do it.
Well, let me tell you, Coleman, you see, it doesn't happen to you, but it happens to me all the time.
Did you?
Every time I get out here and start working a little, I break something or lose something, and it costs me more than it would just to go buy the stuff, can't I?
Well, I get those, you know, but that luck.
Well, I tell you, you know, what I used to tell Mr. Miles all my whole life. You take the
This end of channel 2 right, 1800, towards the end of channel 2 right, and the visit with Coleman, with Rick and Debbie and Faye, this Tuesday, the 28th of August, 73. It's the end of the visit with Coleman, with Rick and Debbie, channel 2 right, around towards the end, almost to the end, this Tuesday, the 28th of August, 73. This visit with Coleman, the end of the visit with channel 2 right, around towards the end, 1800, and with Rick and Debbie and Faye, this Tuesday morning, 28th of August, 73.